State rail officials hold meetings this week in Skagway and Haines, and a Tongass organization ends its mission of moderating forest issues. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The state is hosting a series of railroad planning meetings this week around Alaska, starting with Skagway and Haines. The meetings, or open houses, are meant to give communities an opportunity to participate in the state rail plan. The Department of Transportation is in the process of updating the rail plan, which is meant to be a long-term vision for rail, freight, and passenger transportation. The state's last rail plan was completed in 1985 and updated in 1990. The plan aims to identify needs, prioritize potential projects, determine funding needs, and outline future rail policy direction. In Haines and Skagway, rail development has been floated as a way to support resource development in the area. The DOT writes on its website that rail is meant to support but not drive resource development, and to be cost-effective, rail works best when high volumes of freight are to be shipped over a long period of time. There are several considerations for rail projects in the Upper Lynn Canal, including geography and the difficulty of proposing a rail project through the Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve. Skagway has also looked at the possibility of somehow utilizing the White Pass rail line for resource transport. The open house community meetings on the rail plan are scheduled in Wasilla, Seward, Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Nome. The meeting in Skagway is scheduled for Tuesday in Assembly Chambers, with an open house scheduled at the Haines Library on Wednesday. The meetings run from 5 to 8 p.m., with a short presentation scheduled for 6:30. For more information, visit dot.alaska.gov/railplan. The Tongass Futures Roundtable is shutting down. The organization tried to resolve Southeast Alaska forest issue conflicts. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
The Tongass Futures Roundtable formed about 7 years ago. Organizers hope to bring together all parties involved in the forest to craft compromises on land use issues such as logging and habitat protection.
The roundtable brought people together who had never had to sit across from each other at a table. The normal environment was a courtroom.
Bruce Botello has been the group's facilitator and moderator. The former Attorney General and Juneau Mayor says roundtable members decided to end their work during a meeting earlier this month.
One of the benefits for us to dissolve right now is to create the opportunity for people to come together and perhaps learn from our experience, but also build on it. And one would hope that any assembly of stakeholders would truly bring back the whole range of participants.
Membership originally included industry, government, tribal, and environmental leaders, but about 2 years ago, the state, timber representatives, and some conservation groups pulled out.
We didn't have enough movement in the direction that we felt needed to occur.
State forester Chris Mish was one of the original roundtable members.
So the governor decided it would be best to put the state energy and time and resources into a task force, which he established through an administrative order.
Mish chaired that task force, which released its final report a few months ago. It recommended a number of actions meant to increase logging. One called for the federal government to turn 2 million acres of the Tongass over to the state to be managed for harvest. Mish says the timber task force has since shut down. Botello says the roundtable will cease operations July 1st, but he says it achieved some of its goals.
Devoted a great deal of time to examining the proposed mental health land exchange between the state and the trust, and ended up endorsing a process which is underway. And I think that, absent the support of the roundtable, would have been more difficult.
He says some of the roundtable's working groups will continue meeting. One focuses on Alaska Native issues, another on sustainable forests. The Tongass Futures Roundtable had about 35 members and tried to reach decisions by consensus. State Forester Mish says that just didn't work.
It was a well-intentioned effort, and a lot of people spent a lot of time in trying to make that process work, and unfortunately it just wasn't the right time and the right place, so it's too bad that it didn't come to a better conclusion.
The roundtable had funding support from the Rasmussen Foundation and other donors, the Juneau Office of the Nature Conservancy, an international conservation organization, staffed the group. Roundtable coordinator Norm Cohen says money was not the reason the group decided to dissolve. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
A new smaller Sea Alaska land selection measure faces opposition from the federal government. The legislation would transfer 3,600 acres of the Tongass National Forest to the southeast-based Regional Native Corporation. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld prepared this report from a Thursday congressional hearing.
Sea Alaska's timberlands have been logged of much of their harvestable trees. Officials say more acreage is needed or timber operations could shut down, taking southeast jobs with it. That's why the corporation is pushing for a short-term measure, the transfer of two Tongass parcels, to fill in until a more comprehensive piece of legislation makes its way through Congress. U.S. Forest Service official Jim Pena stated his objections at a House Committee on Indian and Alaska Native Affairs meeting. The bill's author, Alaska Congressman Don Young, chairs that panel. Pena objected to a requirement that the land be transferred within 60 days of passage.
These two parcels would be conveyed without the carefully negotiated provisions related to special use authorizations and public access that many stakeholders see as essential.
One parcel is on the Cleveland Peninsula between Wrangell and Ketchikan. The other is at Election Creek on Prince of Wales Island. The acreage is also part of a much larger measure that would transfer about 70,000 acres to Sea Alaska. That bill was also before the committee. Young said it's a compromise.
First introduced over 6 years ago, this bill has undergone an extensive vetting process throughout the region and has resulted in meaningful changes such as providing for continued public access to lands and modified certain land selections among them.
The Forest Service's Pena says the larger measure is preferable since it addresses a wider range of issues. He also said it's much improved from previous years, but he wants further changes before the administration lends its support. Southeast hunting guide Jimmy Rosenbrook spoke for sportsmen's groups opposing the land transfers. He said Sea Alaska's logging will cut down on access as well as wildlife.
It's kind of Sea Alaska to offer access for guides to utilize these lands for a 10-year period after their Forest Service permit expires. I don't know if it would be much benefit. Having access to clear-cut areas wouldn't be worth anything. There's no wildlife there. They are D-O-N-E, finished.
Last year's version of Young's bill passed the House, but not the Senate. And the Senate's latest version, sponsored by Alaskans Lisa Murkowski and Mark Begich, has undergone more negotiation and changes. Sea Alaska board member Byron Malott says that measure is more likely to be the final legislative vehicle, but he prefers the House bill.
In my personal judgment, there is more equity and justice in the House bill. But I also know from long, long experience that what the Native community can easily and passionately feel is equity and justice. For others is often very hard to ultimately make possible.
Young Sea Alaska bills passed out of the subcommittee and now head to the full House Resources Committee. If either passes, it will go to the House floor for a full vote. It would most likely be packaged with other legislation. That's what happened last year. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting.
The State 1, 2, and 3A track meet was held over the weekend in Fairbanks. But before Upper Lincolnel track athletes could participate in the meet, they had to go shopping for long underwear. Competitors from Haines and Skagway attended the meet in the interior and were treated to some cold temperatures and snow on the ground. Temperatures on Saturday reached a high of 35 in Fairbanks, but it only felt like 27 with the wind chill. Haines coach Lexi DeWitt said the team went shopping for some warmer track clothes in Fairbanks before the meet. She said the temperatures likely affected some of the students' performance, but they still made a good showing. Chris Olson went into the state meet, ranked first in the triple jump, and ended up in fourth place overall in the event. Senior Patrick Henderson also came in fourth in his event, the high jump. Serena Badgley nabbed second in the triple jump, and seniors Alicia Young and Carly Spud went 2-3 in the discus. Young also came in sixth in shot put. The Haynes women's 4x100 team came in fifth, and the 4x800 team was sixth. The women earned enough points for seventh overall at the state meet out of 20 teams. Besides Olsen and Henderson on the men's team, Keegan Sundberg clinched fifth in the 400-meter dash, and Chevy Fowler got seventh for the long jump. The men's 4x800 relay team took eighth. The Alaska School Activities Association did not have a men's team ranking on its website for the state meet. And Skagway's Eric Cochran also represented at the state meet. After sweeping three races at regionals, the senior went on to take fifth in the 3200 and seventh in the 800 and 1600. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. KHNS welcomes comments on topics important to you. If you'd like to make a commentary to air on your local community radio station, check our website at khns.org under Community for our guidelines. Each listener commentary airs twice, once in the evening and once in the morning after your local news. Everyone has an opinion, and you can make yours heard on the KHNS listener commentary.